Heavenly Father, may you speak to us through my words, in our thoughts, and in our hearts. Amen. Please sit down. Well, in our first reading there, we heard in the book of James about how the tongue can be used as a positive or a negative instrument. From the tongue, from our mouths, from our lips can come things that some of the things we would be proud of and others that we would rather forget. The trouble is, once words have been said, often they are very difficult to forget, sometimes difficult to forgive. And then in our gospel reading, we have Jesus in our gospel reading with that question to his disciples there. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? What are they saying about me? Jesus questioning those who are closest to him, testing the water to see how his ministry is being received. But Jesus realizes that he needs to go further than that. So he asked them the question, who do you say that I am? That perhaps is more testing for them. Taking it to a personal level and asking for an honest opinion. Well, you might think about it for yourselves, but perhaps in reverse. Who do people say that you are? Imagine you're standing at the pearly gates. St. Peter wants to know who you are. You might say, well, God knows who I am. But then we really need to be asking that question for ourselves. Each of us is unique. There's no doubt about that. Every one of us. Even the identical twins, such as our two sons, they are very different. But what about me? Well, I might say to St. Peter, I'm Ronald Victor Curtis. By the way, I've always disliked my names, never really got used to them, since I was a boy. But those are the names that I was given. I should be giving names to Ivy Rose today that have been chosen by her parents when we come to her baptism. But that's the way it is. I might also say to St. Peter, well, I'm a priest in the church. I'm acting area dean at the moment for my sins. I'm a husband. I'm a parent, a grandfather, a former customs officer. What more do you need to know about me? He might reply, is that really who you are? If we dig a bit deeper below the surface, what's seen and what's known of me are on the outside, but then if we look on the inside, it might just get a little bit more uncomfortable. The inner me that's lurking inside there, often not seen by others, but known to me and known to God. I'm sure that Jesus knew who he was. His own concerns, his hopes, his purpose here on earth. He's now trying to get his disciples to understand something of the inner Jesus and his real purpose here on earth. It's taken him almost 30 years to get this far. Very little of that being recorded in the Bible, not in the public arena. But now he's out in the open and it's just a short time, 2, perhaps 3 years, to fulfill his purpose and his public ministry here on earth. In asking such a complex question, the disciples might have replied that they needed more time to think about the answer that they were going to give. Sometimes we can be struggling over a particular issue, perhaps for days, But then we bring it out in the open, we ask for help, and we sometimes expect an immediate response. Enthusiasm is wonderful, but sometimes we need to curb that enthusiasm, our enthusiastic ideas, and let the answer develop more slowly with a more considered response. This is the way Jesus has been educating and developing his disciples, his closest followers. So Jesus decides now it's time to continue that development and to reveal more to them about the future and who he really is. In Mark's gospel, he goes on to tell them that he must suffer and die. And what a thunderbolt that is to Peter. He's affirmed his faith, his belief in Jesus. Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. And now that same person is telling him that things have to come to an end with his imminent persecution and death. Peter quite naturally reacts to this. And who could blame him in rebuking Jesus? I'm sure that I would. Mark brings out the humanity of Peter. Peter, the rock on which the church of God and of Jesus Christ was to be built. But that event actually acts as a catalyst for Jesus to reveal the underlying purpose of his ministry and his life here on earth, developing his teaching of them. So we have Jesus speaking about himself in Mark's gospel. But let's go back to those pearly gates and what you might say about yourself. By the time we get there, of course, it'll be far too late to change anything. And we simply do not know the hour or the day when our life here on earth will be complete. In some respects, there needs to be a sense of urgency in order to make sure that we prepare ourselves. And that we are honest with ourselves. And that we probably need to take some action now. The next question that Jesus was asked is, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And again, we might ask that same question of ourselves. Good works may help us in our life today. But it's through the grace of God that we find forgiveness for our sins, our faults, our failings, that inner self that I spoke of earlier. Only then can we become more Christ-like. And the answer to this is, it's our spiritual life that needs that careful attention. It's almost 3 years ago that I retired from the parish in Stourbridge in the West Midlands. One of the church wardens was writing in their parish magazine this month, speaking about their joy at a new priest just about to be licensed today. They've been 3 years without a priest, whilst the deanery and the diocese were working to try and discern the future pattern for bringing together parishes in ministry in that area. And my goodness me, have they been struggling with it. But they were fortunate, a new archdeacon was appointed, and decisions were made. It's wonderful that she was to make that decision for them, that they should have a new priest of their own at St. Thomas's there. But in that article that the church warden was writing in their monthly magazine, she spoke about the fact that whilst all the general duties and jobs had been performed in the church, keeping life going as it needed to be, those 3 years since my departure, there'd actually been a lack of development of their spiritual life. It was their spiritual life that had been neglected at the cost of running the church, at the cost of being without a shepherd, someone to lead them. Well, it's something that you might think about here at St. Bartholomew's in Ducklington. With the vacancy that you have here at the moment, not knowing how long it might be before another priest is appointed to your parish, and I pray to God that it's not 3 years. It's our own spiritual life and our spiritual journey that can often be pushed aside in the busyness of our lives and the needs of the parish. We need to come together. We need to hold each other in love. We need to hold each other in prayer. We need to hold each other before God to be sure that we hold on to Him as we journey to the future. The crucial question is, how do we allow God to develop and encourage us on that journey? A journey that makes us who we are today on a personal level. Who we will be as we stand at those pearly gates. Jesus reminds us that there are no half measures, no shortcuts. If we are to follow Him, then it means giving up of ourselves, of our lives to Him. So that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for God and His Son, Jesus Christ, casting aside self-interest, jealousy, malice, just as Jesus did, and to live for the glory of God. It's only through this path in life that we find the path open for us into eternity. Taking up our cross can be quite daunting, but we have the love and the assurance that God will be very much alongside us through His Holy Spirit and revealed to us through Jesus Christ. My prayer is that He may be there to direct and guide you, every one of you, to inspire you as a parish, as you look to the future. And may He be very close to you in your personal life as you seek to find the answer for yourselves. Who do you say that I am? Amen.